to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? I mean, that's quite a dramatic picture, isn't it? Imagine it was just a whole bunch of eyes sitting around. It'd be odd, wouldn't it? Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, we thank you for the wonderful sense of your presence here tonight, and for that amazing promise where you say, where two or more gathered in your name, there you are. And Lord, I pray that tonight we really would hear your voice. Lord, we would hear the things that you want to say to us. Lord, even if there were things that perhaps some of us didn't have the courage to share just in that moment before, Lord, I pray that some of those, there'd just be opportunity for those things to come out later. And Lord, that you would be speaking through your body, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So have you ever been asked a question, or remember being asked the question, what are you going to do with your life? Yeah? What are you going to be when you grow up? Yeah? Joseph. What are you going to be? What are you going to do?
Don't know.
Okay. Jude. What are you going to be?
Don't know.
You know, it's quite common, isn't it, to be asked those questions. And for us to actually just kind of really struggle to know the answer. I used to get asked that. And sorry, I didn't ask you, Sam. I'll ask you.
A child of God.
A child of God. Great answer. And I remember being asked those sort of questions and going, I don't know. What do I want to do? What am I supposed to kind of work towards? And I think one of the reasons those questions are difficult to answer is because they actually tap into kind of a much bigger question, which is, what is my purpose in life? Yeah? You know, why actually are we here? I mean, what's the point of it all? Do you ever ask those sorts of questions? And, you know, the title of this talk is In It Together. I mean, what is it that we're in together? What is it that we should be doing with this life? Well, you know, many people think life is all about kind of fulfilling your personal kind of dreams or ambitions. So, you know, so actually, some people really like, you know, parents really like their children to be able to answer that question. You know, yeah, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be this, or I want to be that. Because there's quite a strong sense in our culture that actually the purpose of your life is to fulfill a kind of an ambition, a dream, as it were. So we work, you know, you've got to work really hard and, you know, do your exams, get really good grades. Don't know if anyone doing exams at the moment? Oh, thankfully not. Not exam season. You will be. and you know, so you get a good grade so you can get a good job, and so you can kind of fulfill your dreams, you know, be a success. Or there's kind of other versions of success which actually aren't as dissimilar as we sometimes think. We've got you know, you have things like the X Factor, and actually on the X Factor you often have people saying, this is what I always dreamed of, or I'm dreaming that I could do this, be this pop star. Do you know, the truth is that your life's purpose is actually far bigger than any of that. It is far more than just fulfilling a personal dream or ambition. Your life purpose is actually to discover what God has for you. The God of the universe, the God who's made everything, actually, he has a calling for your life. Did you know that? He has a purpose for you. And, you know, many people miss it. And these words that Paul writes, that's in the kind of middle of this book about kind of real life, are there to encourage people not to miss their purpose in life, but to play their part and discover it. And that's what we're going to kind of look at a bit tonight. And you might have kind of noticed the main analogy that gets used in this this passage. What was the analogy? Body. Okay, so we're a body. We're a body with a part to play. So the last verse I read, verse 27, says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you, every one of you, is a part of it." You know, the idea of the church as a body is a really powerful one that comes throughout Scripture. And the problem in Corinth is that they weren't acting like a body. Okay? They were acting actually quite far from that. They seemed to be very focused on the individual. So there were some individuals who were really kind of promoted, who were elevated, who were kind of like the celebrities of the church. And, you know, people were saying, "Well, I follow this person, this guy Apollos, and I follow this guy." And there were some people who were really elevated. And there were others who it seems like were just forgotten. It's like, "Well, you're not important. You don't matter." And there was kind of quarreling and disputes and disunity. And Paul writes to them basically to tell them off. He says, you've got this wrong. That isn't what following God is about. That's not what your purpose is. That's not what church is about. And, you know, I think one of the biggest challenges with the question I began with, you know, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to be when you grow up, those sort of questions, is that those sort of questions are very me-centered, aren't they? They're all about, what are you going to do with your life? What do I want to do? What's my purpose? Rather than Christ-centered, this body is described, verse 27, as the body of Christ. And so often we forget to actually ask, you know, what does Christ want me to do? What does Jesus Christ, the one who's made everything, want me to do as part of his body? I mean, it's an extraordinary thought, this idea that we are the body of Jesus Christ. I mean, just think about that for a moment. Okay, it might be a language that's quite familiar. Might be the first time you've heard it. Okay, so what does it mean to be the body of Christ? Well, if that is true, we are the body of Christ, who are we supposed to look like, do you think? Jesus. Okay? So we're supposed to look like Jesus in some way. So what sort of things are we supposed to do you think? Maybe the things that Jesus did? Yeah? In his physical body? So we are the body of Christ. Yeah, Christ has ascended to heaven. We are his body, called to look like Jesus and to do the things that Jesus did. Okay, so what are some of the things that Jesus did? Wash people's feet. Okay. Anything else? Healed people. Great.
Make friends with sinners.
Make friends with sinners. Died
on a cross.
Died on a cross. Oh, no, we don't need to die, do we? Ah, okay, carry on. Yeah, okay. If anyone would follow up and come after me, he would take up his cross. Okay, anything else? What did Jesus do? Sorry?
Rose again.
Yeah. Resurrection life.
Turned water into wine.
So miracles, yeah. All kinds of stuff.
He traveled by donkey.
He traveled by donkey. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, we get that donkey. Where is that donkey? We're supposed to look like Jesus, to do the sort of things Jesus did. And actually, Jesus himself said what he'd come to do. So when he began his ministry, he actually read from the prophet Isaiah. And he said this, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I think we're going to have it up on the screen. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." That's what we're to do. "He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You know, Christians are called to an amazing thing. I mean, isn't that an amazing calling? Yeah? To see people set free, to announce good news, to see lives transformed, to see people healed, to see people who are in despair and darkness discover light, to see division and barriers broken down. You know, do you want to be part of something like that? I know I do. You know, to do what Jesus did, to look like Jesus. That's the kingdom vision. You know, I've heard of the Jesus talks about the kingdom a lot. The kingdom vision of Jesus is that that sort of thing would happen through his body. You're like, I mean, but how's that going to happen? I mean, take a look around. I mean, how can we do what Jesus did? Do you ever think like that? How is that possible? Well, I've got a few things that I think can really help us from this passage. And the first is this: it's through the power of the Spirit. Through the power of the Spirit. You might have even noticed when Jesus quotes Isaiah, it's the Spirit of the Lord is on him. And then verse 13 of this passage we just read says this: "For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." The only way anyone or any group of people can look like Jesus is if they are baptized in the Spirit. If they are immersed in the Spirit. If they have the Spirit of God living in them. You see, being a Christian is not about just believing some things. It's not kind of a club that kind of we go to. When the Spirit of God comes together with the spirit of a man or woman, a boy or girl, a new life is born. A new creation happens. And people change. God's Spirit comes in. And that is why Jesus died. That so that we could know God in us. You know, the problem was that because we're so full of sin, so full of rubbish, we could only ever know God at a distance. But the reason Jesus came, the reason he died on the cross for sin, is to get rid of all that kind of rubbish that meant we couldn't know God in us. And he's done that, hasn't he? He's died for us so that his Spirit could come. And when Jesus announced his ministry, that's exactly what he said. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." And that same Spirit is upon every believer. Everyone who's invited Jesus into their lives. Do you know, some people make the mistake of trying to live like Jesus without the Spirit of God in them. I mean, that is a problem, isn't it? You know, that's like trying to fly to America without the plane. I mean, you just can't do it. Let me try and illustrate this. Can I have a volunteer? I got a little challenge. Noah, come up. Let's welcome Noah. It's quite a simple challenge, okay? I just want you to turn a light on. Okay? Let me give you the light. Okay? Yeah? You turned the light on before?
Not like this.
Not like that. Okay, go on, just have a go. No? I'm being harsh. You need something else. This is what you need. Here you go. Okay. You know what to do now? Bang! Oh no, sorry. Yeah, okay, turn it on. I think it's on the switch there. Gone. Oh. Try again. Okay. What's wrong? Okay, come and find some power. Go find some power. Here you go. Let this one there. Oh. Okay. Thank you so much, Noah. Do you know what? Sometimes we do try and do the Christian life a bit like a lamp that isn't plugged in. Yeah? And like, oh, I'm trying to be like Jesus. I'm trying to be like Jesus. And it's crazy, you can't. You can't, you've got to kind of get plugged in. You've got to be connected to something bigger. You've got to be connected to God and His Spirit. I mean, how much time do you spend with God? Every day. I mean, how much time do you actually spend just saying, God, I need you. I want you to fill me. Do you know, often the answer is not enough, isn't it? Often we're just kind of doing stuff in our own strength. And the only way we can live like Jesus and do the things that Jesus did is if we are people who are filled with His Spirit. Because being baptized in the Spirit, receiving God's Spirit, is not just a one-off event. There's a first time that needs to happen. But the encouragement of Scripture is to go on being filled with the Spirit of God. You cannot do it any other way. So that's the first thing. To do what Jesus did, we need to do it through the power of the Spirit. Second thing we need to do is do it through playing your part. So there are loads and loads of different gifts of the Spirit that are listed here in this passage. And you've got some even in just a few verses before. If you look at verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. We all have different gifts. We all have different gifts. Verse 14, so the body is made up not of one part, but of many. And one of the big problems that Paul addresses in this section is the problem of people who think they don't have a gift. That they don't have a part to play. You know, so he says that verse 15. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. You know, people who think, I'm not like them. Never do that. Oh, they're so gifted. I don't have that gift. I wish I had that. We do that a lot, don't we? That kind of comparing sort of thing. And it's kind of hardwired into our culture. And so it's really hard not to do it. I mean, it often feels like we're not in it together, doesn't it? It often feels completely opposite. We're you know, right from school, we're competing against each other. You know, who's got the best grades? Who's got the latest things? Who's the best looking? Who's the best sports person? And we're comparing and competing. And And this can quickly lead to people kind of discounting themselves, saying, well, I'm not like that. I could never do that. Get down on ourselves. I wish I was different. And Paul says, no, that's a crazy way of thinking. Your part, your unique part is absolutely vital to the health of the body. You know, in fact, our differences are vital. We matter because we're different. We're not supposed to be the same. Our differences are a strength. And I was trying to think how best to illustrate this. So I thought we'd just play a little game. So I need a kind of a big, strong person. And I need someone who's a bit smaller. You can still be strong, but you just need to be smaller. Okay, Luke, that's what we want. Let's welcome Luke. Yeah. Good to see Luke. Smaller person? It's just an arm wrestle challenge, don't worry, it's nothing big. No, it's not really. Come on, smaller person? It can be almost anyone here, because we're all smaller. Okay, anyone? Come on, come on. We'll be here all night, quickly, just someone. Oh, you're not really small enough. You're really big. No, come on then. Come on. Actually, can I just pick someone? Can I pick someone? Alana. Is that going to kill you? Come on, Alana. All right, I'm going to take Joseph then. Come on, Joseph. Well done. Right, well done, Joseph. Okay. So what I want, simple challenge. I'm not sure if I'm going to use it, actually. Okay. Right. One of you needs to not be able to see, because one of the things was, you know, if you're not an eye. Okay. Okay, Joseph, you're not going to be able to see. Okay. Okay. Just tell me if you can't breathe. Not by falling over, yeah? Okay, so what I need you to do, Joseph, if gives Luke a piggyback. Okay? To... Now, that doesn't work, does it? No. Yeah? Who needs to be the... Okay, we'll do it this way. We're going to give Luke... Okay, so Luke, you're the one who... You're not the eye, okay? But Joseph, you are the eye. You're the one who can see. Okay, so the challenge is that one of you has to carry the other to one end, to the one end of the room and back, okay? So one of you does the directing. Yeah, who do you think should do the directing? The one with the eyes, okay? Okay, so we're going to put one, the one with the eyes on the back, okay? So you're going to go on his back. Okay. Okay. Now hold on. Okay, so right, so all you got to do is get to the table. All right, so you're going to have to tell him which way to go, okay? Okay, I'm not going to make you dizzy. Okay, so you're just going to have to tell him which way to go. So you've got to get to the table and back, okay? Okay, so. Fantastic. Hooray. Okay, so we'll try it the other way around. No, we won't, will we? Because it wouldn't work. Yeah, you've got to play your part. The person who can see needs to do the direction. The person with the strengths needs to do the carrying. You see, we all have a different part to play. Okay, clap, give them a good clap. Yeah. Sit down. I was going to do a race between two people, and then I thought that would go really wrong. You know, our differences is actually what makes the body work. It's our differences that enable us to do the things that Jesus wants us to do. You know, this illustration here. Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. But actually, you need to be able to hear. You know, perhaps you're actually someone who's not the one who's seeing. Maybe you're the one who's going to listen and hear what's happening in someone's life. Maybe you're the one who's going to draw alongside. Maybe you're the one who's going to do something up front. Or maybe you're the someone who's going to do something that's very hidden. And in order for the body to work, We all need to play our part. I think one of the things that's really difficult in our culture is our culture often tells us what we're not. Do you know that? Oh, you're not this. You know, we get presented, a picture of impossibly beautiful people, living impossibly wonderful lives. And even though we know it's kind of a lie, don't we? We know it's not true. Yet, we kind of still fall for it. Don't we? It's like, oh, if only I was like that. But God has made you as he wants you to be. You know, the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Just as he wants you. You're uniquely made and you fit perfectly into the body. And it's something in our culture that just kind of pressurizes us, say you're not what you should be. You're not as you should be. And God says, no, I love you. I want you part of my body. In fact, I've got a unique and special role for you to play. A unique contribution that only you can bring, because only you are you. So, how do we do what Jesus calls us to? Well, we need to do it through the power of the Spirit, through playing your part, and finally and briefly, through working together. You know, some people in Corinth, they really needed affirmation. They needed to be reminded that their part mattered. But there was another group in Corinth in the church who, their issue wasn't that they were like, oh, I'm discounting myself. Their issue was that they thought too much of themselves. They thought, well, I've got this gift and your gift doesn't matter nearly as much as mine. And they were kind of ruling other people out. So if you look, verse 21, you see this, what they were doing. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. It's like there's almost this kind of in crowd in Corinth. You know, the cool people, and they're just looking at others going, well, I don't think they matter very much. And what I find fascinating about these words is it's not that Paul just says, oh no, everyone matters, and actually even that kind of, that weaker one, their thing does kind of, it counts a little bit. He doesn't say that, does he? What does he say? Their part is indispensable. Indispensable. You know, sometimes the parts that we think don't matter are actually the most important part. Are there people in the church that you think, oh, maybe they don't really matter? You might immediately think, no, I don't think like that. But you know, it's easy to dismiss people. Maybe the little children, easy to dismiss them. Maybe the older people, maybe dismiss them. Maybe those serving behind the scenes, just not notice. You know, I had a dramatic lesson about the importance of everyone on a holiday in Cornwall. And I shared this in a morning service a little while ago. We were on holiday in near St. Ives. Anyone been to St. Ives? It's got a beautiful harbour. We were visiting there, and I had this great idea that we would, rather than walk round the harbour, that we'd walk across it. Across all the kind of the mud pools and across the boats. And it was a really, really windy day. Do you remember it? It was just like howling. And we walked across the harbour, and we got to the harbour wall. And it was so windy that I was a bit worried that the children might actually get blown off. So what we did is I said to Laura, my wife, I said, you go first. Check it out, okay. Brave man that I am. You go first, you go to the top. And what I'll do is I'll take the children up one at a time to you, up these stone steps and then up onto the wall, and then we'll get back out of the wind. So we So we did that. Laura went up and she was okay. So I thought, right, it's okay for me. Took one child up, and then I can't remember which order it was, and then took the other child up. And as I got to the top of the steps, there was this enormous gust of wind, and it just took my glasses out into the middle of the bay. And if you haven't got glasses, if you've got glasses, take them off. Just, it's tricky, isn't it? You can't see very much. Now, if you haven't got glasses, it's a bit like, what is it? It's fog. It's like a fog. Okay. And the problem at this time was that I was the only one who drives. And that was the only pair of glasses. So I said to them, you'll stay here. I'll go and get the glasses. So I went down and started looking around this huge harbour with no glasses. And I couldn't find anything, not surprisingly. So I'm like, right, I need Laura's help. I was like, well, I can't leave the kids on their own. So went back up, ferried the children back down, went back into harbour. It's like, Thea, and this was a few years ago, so Thea was only just walking. So I'm like, Thea, you just stay here. Don't move, don't fall in the rock pool, don't wander out, tide's coming in. Just stay here. Okay, we're going to go and look. And so the rest of us went looking. And I'm still looking, and I can't see a thing. And then Thea starts shouting, Daddy, Daddy. I'm like, Thea, we're looking. You know, it's like, we're busy. It's like, Daddy, Daddy. And she's like, I've got them, I've got them. And she had toddled off and played her part. And she found my glasses. And we were like, yeah. And here's the lesson for me. I discounted her. I was like, no, well, your part can't really matter. Her part was indispensable. And in the body of Christ, do you know, sometimes we have a part to play. We think, oh, it doesn't really matter. Oh, it won't matter if I don't do that. It won't matter if I don't show up. And actually, your part, it is indispensable. And other people's parts, as you look at others, they matter so much. So, so much. And as we discover our parts, as we serve together rather than kind of just separately, as we connect to God by His Spirit, then the church, something extraordinary happens. The church starts to look like Jesus. It starts to do the things that Jesus did. And one thing I'd love us to do tonight is just pray that we as a church would start to look more like Jesus. Wouldn't that be cool? You know, there's times where I think, oh yeah, that looks like Jesus, that looks like Jesus, but there's just a ton of stuff I think, oh Lord, we need your help. So perhaps we could stand together. Perhaps the band could come forward. And I'd love us to pray. And you might be here, and you might be just thinking, I'm not sure what my part is. You know, what do I do with that? And one of the things I just advise you to do is just look for an opportunity to serve. That's a great place to start discovering your part. Look for an opportunity to serve. But when we do that, we don't do it in our own strength. If we try and do it in our own strength, we will fail. We need God's Spirit. And I'd love just to pray that God would come by His Spirit, and then as we worship over these next few minutes, there'll be opportunity just to receive more prayer. But I'm just going to pray for us now.